This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run. Cut on every trash, team team for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
You know when you're a kid and there's a big day coming up, and your parents will say to you, maybe this is just me. I think Ricky probably had this as well. And they'd be like, all right, just one more sleep to Christmas, or two more sleeps to Hanukkah. Right? Did you get that when you were a kid?
Yeah, always. My kids do it to me now.
All right, Rick, one more sleep. One more sleep until we have arrived at the NFL draft. Good morning.
Good morning, David. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah?
Because I know what's coming tomorrow. I got my big open tomorrow.
There's a lot. Tomorrow, you have a lot on your plate tomorrow.
Yeah, heavy lifting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're doing our top 10. So, of course, I mean, that for me started yesterday. And this is just a debacle. Complete mess.
Here's the thing. No one's going to do well. So, I mean, once one goes wrong, the whole thing could blow up. Don't get yourself nuts. Just keep your composure. Make your picks. If I happen to destroy you, then so be it. And don't get yourself nuts.
I'm breaking down is
so
what's happening now.
The plan's gone.
Exactly right, Mel. And we'll see Mel today, by the way.
Oh, yeah, we will. You know what we did? We put the full court press on Mel Kiper. We said, you will join our show or else. And it's 7:35 this morning. Mel Kiper Jr. joins the show.
This was Jose Alvarado on Chris Paul. We're picking up full court. Full court.
The whole way. This is Patrick Beverley kind of defense here.
Yeah, he knows it, though. He realizes that there's no one else in this business that's going to start, that's going to send him just crates and crates of fat-free whipped cream. No one's doing that.
No. You know what else I think, and I thought, and I heard him yesterday. He was on Greeny's show with Carlin and Courtney Cronin, I believe. And Carlin asked him, like, flippantly about, oh, well, you know, the whipped cream and how much pumpkin pie do you eat? And I thought that he was going to say, well, and my guys in New York, Rick and Dave, they send me, nope, not a word. He didn't make mention of that on the other show.
Which is surprising. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, though. He's got a lot going on right now.
He does.
He's all over the place.
But still, you need to know where your bread is buttered.
Yeah, or your pumpkin pie is creamed.
Yes. I think that could be the new phrase.
DNR, we cream your pumpkin pie.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing wrong with that, RJ. I'm not talking about the pumpkin I sent you the picture of. I'm talking about pumpkin pie.
That was vicious. I swear, when the FBI comes looking at our computers, and they will get yours one day. I don't know when or why, but they will at some point come and get your computer. And they see that you have Googled fruits that look like genitals. I mean, who would even think to put that in? And who would think there'd be a match out there for people with your kind of sickness?
There's a match for everything. Listen, it wasn't my thought. It wasn't my original thought.
It went through your mind. Fruits that look like genitals.
No, come on. I look at the company text thread, and there's pictures of a banana, a Japanese eggplant, and a cucumber. I mean, what do you want me to do? I want to participate.
What makes a Japanese eggplant? I'm not familiar.
It's the long, skinny eggplant.
Oh, really?
I think that's the Japanese eggplant, yeah.
Oh, so do you think that it was typed into their Google search of the banana, the Japanese eggplant?
Oh, where else is he finding a picture like that? It just so happens that he's in his, you know, he goes into his refrigerator. He's like, oh, look, I'll line up a banana, an eggplant, and a cucumber.
it was a weird. I mean, some of the texts that we get on this group chat are really bizarre. Really?
But you never know with him. He could be doing like some behind the scenes like photography class. He's always running errands. You never know where he's going.
He likes to walk.
Likes to walk. We got the other ones going DMVs. I mean, there's a lot going on here at the station.
There's a lot going on. I mean, we are, I think it's fair to say that people at 98.7 ESPN are renaissance men.
Yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. That's what makes us special.
Well, we're special.
And we all have multiple jobs. Multiple jobs.
We are special, that's for sure. All right, so, I mean, the New York baseball is just rolling along. The NFL draft is here. Yankees with a, what a performance from Rizzo. And Severino for five innings last night looked excellent. And the Mets get another great start. I mean, how about this for you? This is a nugget I think you'll adore. Who at what pitcher has the highest, starting pitcher, the highest ERA on the Mets?
What starting pitcher has the highest ERA on the Mets?
The worst ERA of the starters on the Mets right now.
I'll go with Scherzer.
I should have saved this for later. It's so good. No. Would you like to take another guess?
Highest ERA on the Mets.
Yep.
He's Sal Romano.
Not Sal Romano.
So let's think about this. Bassett was awesome yesterday.
Awesome.
Bassett, Scherzer, Peterson. We got Cookie. Oh, see, I thought it would be Scherzer because you asked me the question. Like, is this like 11?
Well, it's not that surprising that this guy has the highest ERA. The number is just like, what? That's the worst?
Well, yeah, well, you should have said the number then the guy. This feels like a trick question.
It's not a, okay, let me re-clarify. It's not a trick question. Nothing about it is a trick question.
Feels like a trick question to me.
Oh my! All right, forget it. It's Tyler McGill. Now, I can't sit here and do this anymore. All right, now that you know it's Tyler McGill, what's the number? Because that's the special part. The worst starting ERA on the Mets. What's the number?
The number is 217.
235.
Oh, not bad.
230. That's the worst.
Well, yeah. I mean, their starters ERA is what, 2.16 combined as a staff?
That's insane.
That's,
I mean,
great.
We're approaching a month into the regular season. They are now 14-5.
That feels good when you say that. Say that one more time.
14-5.
And how many of the series have we won so far this season?
Every single one. Now, how about this? The first time in the history of the franchise that they have won the first six series of the year. And they go for the sweep this afternoon against the Cardinals.
Yeah, that makes you feel good.
You know what? Because how many times do you get this? I get this all the time from either the Yankees fan or the nervous Met fan. Yeah, but it's only April. It's April 27th. I can't get too excited. Let me ask you this. When is it allowable? I'm excited now. But when is the official, okay, now you can get excited from the Yankees fan and the Mets fan? When does that day hit?
No, I think you should be excited right now. I mean, just enjoy it. Like, I mean, don't be, you know, this pessimistic fan that just thinks the wheels are going to fall off because of what you've seen. And you heard this, a couple weeks ago. Well, the Mets have been off to a good, you know, good start before. Yeah, well, this feels different, doesn't it?
Very different.
Like, it's a completely different team.
Very different. And how often is the pitching this good?
This good without your ace? I mean, without your legitimate ace? How much do I love Max Scherzer? The guy didn't even pitch, and I love him more.
Oh, and he's barking in the dugout last night?
I love it.
Well, first of all, there's a real problem in Major League Baseball. The Mets get hit, I mean, two, three times a game.
And it's 18 not just times.
What?
They've been hit 18 times already.
Right. So I mean, they're getting hit every single game. And it's not even like they're getting hit. If they got hit in the lower half, you could deal with it. How many times? Alonso twice.
Yep.
I know Lindor once, and he still has a cracked tooth. How many times are they going to get hit in the helmet or the head?
Well, that's the amazing part, though, right? I mean, you've been hit 18 times, and, you know, knock on wood, that no one's been seriously injured, you know, or had to miss time because of it. That's scary stuff. You heard Bassett after the game, though. I mean, Bassett pitches, you know, six scoreless, gives up two hits, and the first thing on his mind is how bad the baseballs are.
Because it's a problem. Because
these guys are getting
hammered every single day.
Major League Baseball is a joke, man. It really is.
What they do with the baseballs?
Well, just in general.
On a whim?
Yeah, just in general. It's like they can't get out of their own way. Like, how many guys need to get hit before you realize? Like, they're telling you. Like, we want to have this collaboration with our players because there's some things that we'd like to change because we feel like, you know, it will make the game better. It'll be more enjoyable to watch. The entertainment value will increase, but we're going to need the support of our players. So you have every single pitcher telling you these baseballs stink. I can't control them. There's no consistency. I don't know what kind of baseball I'm going to get day to day. Depending on the weather conditions, sometimes I can't hold it. Like, this is the guy's livelihood for both sides, for the hitters and the pitchers. And we're not talking about, you know, spider tack to increase my spin rate. Like, we're talking about, I just need to grip the baseball. And you got guys coming in throwing 98 miles an hour. Like, you know what a 97 mile an hour two seam fastball looks like?
It almost doesn't look like anything.
Tailing into you?
You almost can't see it.
Well, you can't move away from it, though. Like, if I'm a right-handed pitcher throwing you a 97 mile an hour, and you're a righty hitter, and I'm throwing you a 97, 98 mile an hour two seam fastball inside, it's just chasing after you. You can't get out of the way of that.
Well, they haven't. I mean, you see it.
It's a joke, man. It really is.
So what do you do? Give them something that they can at least grip the ball a little better?
Well, how come Japan's already? I mean, they already have a ball that comes with tack on it that they control.
Doesn't it feel like baseball's always? And I don't want to spend the whole day on.
They're not
on
progressive
the bad
at all
of baseball, but it's. I mean, can you please get with the game? Get with the program. It's not like this is not something that's been solved in other parts of the world. It has been. So figure it out.
I mean, you have the technology to do it, man. I mean, it's the same. We're sitting here complaining about Major League Baseball. I had the same complaints about, you know, the NFL last week or 2 weeks ago with the, you know, first down situation.
Well, that's
the USFL
that's
is using it.
But here's the difference. No one's going to wind up severely injured because of that.
Well, yeah, you're right. Your wallet might. You know, betting on these games, you can't get a first down call the right
way. Steve, where do you think that was? Right around here.
Let's get the chain gang out.
It never ceases to amaze me. I'm watching an NFL game. The ball carrier goes down, and a guy from like 15 yards away comes running in, and he starts in one spot, and by the time he hits the line of scrimmage, it's in a completely different spot, and you have no idea what's accurate. None.
I mean, just think about some of them, though. Let's not get off to this tangent, but just think how much different would like the whole. Before Harbaugh actually beat Ohio State. Remember that spot?
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, my God, was that a terrible spot. You're talking about changing outcomes of games, man.
Yeah, but something that's easily solvable. All right, let's not get negative. I mean, it's one more sleep till the draft. We've got the Mets with a great win, the Yankees with a great win, the draft is here. We have a lot going on. Now, we will oftentimes say, you know, call on this topic or that topic or make it very specific. I think it's open season, baby. Right? I mean, you want to talk about the Mets have at it. Rizzo and the Yankees have at it. Jets, Giants have at it. I heard something, and I know you've been big on this, so I don't want to steal your thunder here. But Jets very well might go offensive lineman four. And Becton, it sounds to me, and I spoke to two different people about this yesterday, very good chance he's going to be traded.
Yeah. I was talking about that yesterday.
I know you were. That's why I said they're I don't want to steal your thunder.
They're not happy at all with Mekhi Becton. And regardless of the workout videos that you've seen, he's still out of shape.
Huge.
Yeah, he's big.
I don't understand how that happens.
Well, here's the thing, though. And he doesn't even realize how badly he's letting his team down. Because, I mean, you're sitting here and you have a coach that is, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. The reason why he's a head coach is because he's a really good defensive coordinator. And I was listening to you the other day. I mean, you're not talking about just having a bad, like, the Jets defense wasn't just, like, bad for, like, oh, they just had a bad season. Like,
No,
they were, like, historically bad. They were awful, their defense. So you have a real opportunity here at four to address, you know, a couple different needs that, I mean, that clearly would help your team. Right? Like to get an edge pass rusher or a Sauce Gardner, like a shutdown corner. Like those
Correct.
Are important things for a defense. But now, because Mekhi Becton isn't reliable, and all the things we heard about him previous to him being drafted, right? Like, you know, guy can't stay in shape. He's got, you know, the questions about his motor and everything else. Now they come to fruition. So now, you know, we may have to use the fourth overall pick on an offensive lineman because Mekhi Becton doesn't know what it means to be a professional.
Right. And we talked about this with Kadarius Toney a lot. So what kind of value is there going to be? I mean, what are you going to get from Mekhi Becton? If the
Nothing
Jets don't
close.
Want him, it means he's fallen out of favor. So what are you going to get? Best case scenario, a third-round pick for this guy?
And nothing even close to where you drafted him.
No, what was he, the 10th pick?
11th.
11th? So you're going to get what? You're going to get a third-round pick?
Well, who knows? I mean, it depends. Like, what are you going to do? Do a Zoom? Like, he's going to have to go take a physical. He's going to do a Zoom and say, hey, you know, Mekhi, keep the, you know, pull the camera back and keep it, like, you know, from the neck up so they can't see how big you are. And then him not coming back last year at all. Like, they didn't expect that to be a full season injury.
No, not even a little bit. They didn't expect that. And on top of that, I mean, where has he been during these voluntary workouts? And I've heard a lot of, well, his girlfriend is pregnant. That's why. All right, then just tell us
no,
that.
No, they're trying to hide him, Dave.
They just tell us. The reason
well, no,
he's
to
not
hide,
here
they're
is because of X, Y, or Z.
No, they're not going to tell you that because they're trying to hide him. They don't want you to see what he looks like right now, I don't think. Because yeah, I think they do want to trade him.
But you can't hide it for unless he's going to go on some kind of a cleanse, like an Aaron Rodgers, you know, eating bad ghee and throwing up and you know, having diarrhea and losing 25 pounds in the next 2 days. You're going to see what this guy weighs and how big he is.
Yeah, well, you're going to wait till the very last minute, though, aren't you?
But at some point, somebody's going to see. Like, if you're not just going to take their word for it when you trade for them.
No,
you're
absolutely
not.
You
want to talk to them and see them.
No, no, you're right. I mean, I guess the hope would be, like, because this happens all the time in the NFL, is just, you know what, we get them in our building. You know, we can make it work. We'll fix it. That's all these guys think.
I guess I would be very leery of that guy.
Well, of course you would. I mean, weren't we leery when they drafted him? I mean, I think we both. I mean, Canty was on the show with us. We're talking about, you know, Tristan Wirfs would have been the guy that we picked, but they went with, you know, size, and I mean, he's a freak of nature when you watch him.
And that vanished for a minute. There was a minute of like, oh my God, they got the steal of the draft, and it feels like anything but at this point.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
I might start an alias.
It could be like your alter ego.
Dave Adele.
No, don't force it.
I'm not forcing it. I'm giving you ideas.
Yeah,
like, I sing next to Adele voice, and you're not sure who's actually singing.
Thank you for being a friend.
Who is that? Was that me or is that Adele?
Play it one more time.
Thank you for being a friend.
I'm leaning Adele at the moment.
No, see, that's me.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Keeping your head above water.
Is that me or is that Adele?
I think that might be you.
See, you're good. That is me.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So let's spend a minute on the NBA, and then we'll get back to the NFL in just a moment. So Miami is done with Atlanta. No Jimmy Butler last night. Makes no difference. They still win this game 97-94.
No Kyle Lowry either.
Right. So you're missing, really, in essence, two of your five starters, and you still wind up beating Atlanta. You see what Trae Young did last night?
Yeah, nothing.
He scored, what, 11 points on 2 of
12? Ice Trae. Yes, he was icy.
Get out of my nickname.
What's his nickname is Ice Trae. He had it before Kid Frost.
Kid Frost.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. But you make the name sound silly.
What'd you say?
Well, you make the name sound silly because you're not, I mean, you're not saying it right.
Kid Frost. No, I think I am saying it
no.
Right.
No.
I'm giving it I guarantee you, at some point today, you'll have a moment and you'll be sitting there with yourself or at the grocery store or something. You'll just be like, Kid Frost.
Kid Frost.
I'm telling you.
Santi, explain to him that he's not saying it right, please.
I have. He doesn't care.
You say that. Fine. When we went to break, Santiago's talking to me, and we're back and forth, and all of a sudden he goes, Kid Frost.
No, he said it the right way. He's trying to help you.
No, Raymond, did you not say it that way?
I'm just repeating what you said. And that's not me saying, oh, it's great. I'm just repeating.
Kid Frost.
Don't do that to yourself, Santiago. You have way too much credibility to start talking like Dave. Don't do it.
Kid Frost.
You know, he's going to be leaving.
It.
You know, this is what's going to happen, though. He's going to be leaving places, leaving rooms, and he's just going to throw it out there.
Kid Frost. I sign the credit card receipt at restaurants.
And he's taking shots at Ric Flair, of all people.
Yeah, now he's a kid. Hey, the guy's almost 50. Hey, Nature Boy can't be Nature Boy. He's got to be Nature Man. And all of a sudden, this guy now is Kid Frost.
He's a Nature Man.
Well, then you're a middle-aged Frost, then, is what you are.
I mean,
Fair enough.
Kid Frost is a wrestling nickname, too. I mean,
Kid Frost.
What do you mean, Kid Frost is a wrestling nickname? There's a wrestler that's stolen my nickname?
No, but that's a name that a wrestler could come down to the ring. Like, wait, and coming from Westchester, New York, it's Kid Frost.
Kid Frost.
Stop.
Kid Matt Frost. Matt in Chappaqua. Matt, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. I just wanted to call and say it seems very hypocritical that you want to be Kid Frost and you are ripping on Ric Flair Nature Boy.
It really does, doesn't it?
It's super hypocritical.
It really is.
This is who he is, Matt. This is who he is.
Woo! I mean, Matt, I can't even argue with you. It's tremendously hypocritical that I want to be Kid Frost and I'm giving him a hard time for being the Nature Boy.
But now all of a sudden he likes it.
But that's a man in his 70s.
Well, you're almost 50.
Yeah, but I'm much more of a kid than he is a boy.
No. Maybe of like your mind, but that's it.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo!
Listen, if he wants to be the nature boy, then I have full authority to be Kid Frost.
Yeah, but he's been the nature boy. You can't make the decision at 49 years old that all of a sudden you want to be Kid Frost.
I can make whatever decision I want.
You're going to embarrass your kids at some point. I'm telling you right now, this is what's going to happen.
At some point. Eric in Newark. Eric, you're next up on 98.7.
Nature boy that I have.
Hey,
oh, no,
up,
Eric.
Guys?
Come on. Turn your radio down, Eric.
All right. It's off. You got me?
We got you. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know that there is already a Kid Frost, a Mexican rapper from like the early 90s. He sang a song called, I think it's This Is La Raza.
Oh, This Is La Raza.
Yeah, Dave knows that. Why don't you sing a little bit, Dave?
Yeah, no, I my Spanish is not great.
Dangerous guy.
So what about Kid Frost? How's he doing now?
He's probably in his 60s by now, so he's probably not a real threat to you, but it was a kind of scary guy in the early 90s.
So basically what he's telling you is, Eric is telling you that you're not scary enough to be Kid Frost.
He's saying step off is what he's saying.
Well, no, I don't think he's saying step off. I think he says you're going to have to harden up
this
a little bit.
The Raza.
Oh, I remember that song.
Wasn't he tight with Ice Cube, this guy?
No, come on.
No?
No, that doesn't make them tight because they have their nicknames are similar.
No, I think that they were tight.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I could have sworn. Not certain.
Wasn't that Santiago, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the intro for, a wrestler's music? I could have sworn
There's a wrestler who used similar music. I don't know if he actually used Kid Frost's music, though. But I could see it.
All right, enough. And now you're just making a mockery of my nickname, and I'm not going to have
it. No, you got to toughen up. But people are telling you got to toughen up. You're too soft right now. If you want to be Kid Frost, you want to take the mantle for the original Kid Frost. You got to toughen up.
I'm Kid Frost.
And just to prove Dave's point further, he just goes by Frost these days.
All right, So good. So then I can be Kid Frost. Beautiful. He can be Frost.
Oh, he has respect
because
now he's older. So now he's now Frost.
See?
It's like when I was younger, I was Ricky, and now I'm a grown man, so I went with Rick.
Well, I'm still immature. And I think that's what benefits me. Do you know who the betting favorite is to go to the Jets at fourth overall?
I'm going to go with Kayvon Thibodeau.
That's correct. Kayvon Thibodeau is the favorite. I've heard such mixed things on this guy. I'm so confused. Everyone I talk to, I get a different report. And it's like, I love Thibodeau. I hope the Giants get him at 5. I don't want Thibodeau. Now, I don't know what the right thing is. But yes, Thibodeau to the Jets at 4 is the odds-on favorite right now.
I think they like him a lot. I think that this is how I see it. I see it like this. I think that with all the question marks surrounding Mekhi Becton, with Joe Douglas's background as an offensive lineman himself, the realization that you have to do whatever it takes at whatever cost to make sure that Zach Wilson is great, I think that there's a battle going on right now. I think Joe Douglas, in a perfect world, would probably trade Mekhi Becton and then draft an offensive lineman at 4. And I think that Robert Saleh wants a defensive play. He knows the defense needs to improve.
Desperately, they need a defensive play. Well, they need it all. But you can't envision that Mekhi Becton is not part of this team and not take an offensive lineman.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So really what's happening is Mekhi Becton is completely...
sabotaging your draft right now.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say something stronger, but I'm glad you jumped in and saved me there.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
So that's concerning.
Of course it is.
I mean, so right now you're telling me you don't have a left tackle.
Or
George Fant that you're going to play at left tackle, and now you don't have a right tackle.
Correct. We're minus a tackle, is what I'm telling you.
Right. So that's a real worry. Or how about if I gave you this? Could you sign up for this? Or do you have to have a wide receiver? Could you sign up for Thibodeau 4 and... See, I don't know the cross makes it to 10. Boy, I don't know. So I don't think there's too much of a disparity, too much room in between picks 4 and 10 for you to realistically get Cross.
No, I think Cross goes before that. I think Cross goes before that.
So, I mean, I guess the question is, do you want the offensive lineman? What's more attractive to you? Cobbling together an offensive line and putting an elite pass rusher out there, if that's what he turns out to be, or shoring up the offensive line and then going to battle with a defense that, again, is a struggle?
I would say my priority would be to make sure that, Zach Wilson gets everything that he needs.
So you're going to shore up the offensive line?
Yeah, I wish I didn't have to. I mean, if
well,
I
you shouldn't have to.
No, exactly right. I mean, this is the 11th overall pick, man. Like, I mean, smarten up.
That's a Douglas pick, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to trade him, and God knows what you get for him now, and that's what the rumor is, that he's not going to be a Jet next year, and he's ballooned up this offseason. That's a horrible selection.
It's a horrible selection, yep. Because you thought, once you took Vera Tucker, you're like, okay, we're set.
Right, and then you signed Tomlinson this offseason, right? You're like, all right, the offensive line is good to go.
Yeah, I mean, and Fant was really good last year, so we're like, all right, set. If we can get, some of these mocks you saw, I think in Mel's latest mock, he had them trading back up to get Linderbaum to have, okay, and I mean, if that happened, forget it. But offensive line is set, okay? We added some tight ends. We got some weapons. Let's go. Maybe draft a wide receiver here. Whatever it is, trade for Debo. We're ready to rock and roll. But now, you got your coach that wants one thing, your GM that, he obviously wants to make sure Zach Wilson is really good. And if I got questions about Mekhi Becton, I mean, you're hard-pressed not to take an offensive line with that fourth pick.
There's so many question marks. I mean, both of these New York teams have so many question marks. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DiPietro and Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. Can I ask you a serious question? I'm not giving
Please.
You our time. How is this team going to win any games?
Who?
The Jets.
I think they'll win some games. I think they'll win some games.
Okay.
The most important thing for them is...
I know what the most important thing is. The most important thing is that the quarterback shows you something.
No, I think the quarterback has to show you something, obviously, and I think he will. But, I mean, I would also say that Robert Saleh has to clean that defense up. And that's his... And I get you're the head coach. It's your first year as the head coach, so you got a lot going on. But that's embarrassing. Like, I mean, this is...
How? How do you clean up, unless you hit home runs in the draft? The defense, and I mentioned it, and you just mentioned it earlier today, was so bad last season. How are you going to clean this thing up?
Well, it was young, though, too, right? I mean, it was young. That's a big part of it, too. I mean, it's so, you would hope a year of experience, they come back. You'll get Lawson back. Quinnen Williams is a good player.
Right, and they picked up his fifth-year option.
Yeah, of course. And then you'll have some, I mean, they're still, like, there's a lot of depth. Like, I know there's been some talk as far as, like the high-end elite talent, and then there's a drop-off. But there's a lot of depth. Like, there'll be some things that they can address. I mean, you still got those two. I mean, those are still premium picks, those second-round picks.
Premium picks. You're right. Listen, if you're the Jets, you have to go into this draft saying, of the four picks, I need to get three really good players at a minimum.
Yeah. Well, and you have the flexibility to do that, too, right? Like, I mean, you can package those picks and make a run at Debo if you want, and then that gives you some flexibility to do other things. I mean, if there's a player that you like at the end of the first round and you want to move up, you have the ability to do that too.
You do. You have a lot of draft capital and a lot of equity, but it has to happen now. And I'm not saying it has to translate to wins, but this coming season you need to see this team take a step, at least on the field, look more competitive. We are not in the infancy stages anymore of this rebuild. We're not.
Well, we're in year two. I mean, we're in the toddler stages.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. And then the toddler stages, you expect a little more. I'm not saying you have to win 9 games. Go out there, and I'm not even putting a number on it. Look like you belong on the field as an NFL team. Is that fair?
That is fair, and I think that if Zach Wilson shows improvement, and it feels like he's doing a lot of the right things this offseason, right, to build some, just, start building those relationships with his wide receivers that, I mean... He's going to take a step. Now, it may not be a huge step, but if he takes a step, I would imagine that even if you're not winning a lot of games, it's going to be a whole hell of a lot more competitive.
Right. Just look better. Make it feel like you're a professional team.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I love Stump Rothman.
All right, here we go.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You'd like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by Jackpocket. How do you get involved? It's very easy. 1-800-919-3776. Rick, do you have a question that you're going to play Stump Rothenberg with today?
You know, I get highly offended when you ask me that.
Then I guess the answer is yes, and I won't ask you again. 1-800-919-3776. RJ has the five-pack ready to go at the end of this segment. Let's bring in the man that always leads the segment, one Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Ricky and Frosty.
Nice.
Oh, I like that. Kid Frost. I like that. Now we get all of a sudden we get Wendy's involved, Dave.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. Although they have sent breakfast sandwiches to my house during this pandemic.
Yeah, I got some delicious.
Wonderful.
That
Wendy's. Oh, this is the Frosty Chino.
All right, Andy, what do you got?
Well, last week was a Giants draft question. We're going Jets this time.
Oh, boy. Rick, you're going to have to help me out here.
The Jets organization have looked to Penn State University more than any other school. When was the last time the Jets invested a first-round pick from a Nittany Lion?
First-round pick. So Hackenberg was a second-round pick.
Correct.
God, is it Blair Thomas?
Come on, Dave.
Do you know this right off the top of your head? It might be Blair Thomas. I mean, that's going back a ways.
This is what, if you get this question right, I want to say this before you get it right, because I know you're going to get it right. This is what separates you from everybody else.
No, it's not Blair Thomas. I believe it's the 1995 draft where they took Kyle Brady would be my final answer.
Good job, Frosty.
Thank you.
This is what separates you, though. No, this is what separates you, though, because you hate the Jets. You really love the Giants, and yet you don't let that stand in the way of you knowing everything about it.
No, you have to have knowledge. I don't hate the Jets either.
Well, no, you just thought that. I mean, you don't like them. You're not overly interested in them.
No, you're putting words in my mouth. I'm very interested in the Jets. They're not the Giants for me, but I'm very interested in the Jets.
Yeah, the history of the Jets?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. All right, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go. I mean, is there anyone that you adore more in this segment than Sal and Duchess?
Nobody.
Nobody. Absolutely nobody. All right, Sal, what do you got?
Buongiorno, guys. Welcome back, Rick.
You are the best.
And that Dave Frost. Rick, you think that fits him?
Kid Frost.
Kid Frost, no.
Kid Frost, you think that fits him?
No, unless it's a double XL, no.
So
I'm huge and fat.
Wow.
And RJ's a little person.
Oh,
and Santiago
goodness. Doesn't
have it all there working for him. So every take shots. Just take your shots.
Did you
all
hear
right,
what Sal
I,
said?
I did. I
Sal
think
said
Rick
you should
heard
be
called, it.
He said Sal said you should be Kid Boob.
Because no offense, but everything you say
no,
has
why
to
would
be
I?
Your way. I don't agree with that, but that's a frenzy kind of thing. Maybe I'll call it on the frenzy, and I don't want to waste time here.
No, okay. Thank God you have that statement. Go ahead, Sal.
Right. Okay. Here's my question. I think I worded it wrong to RJ, but here we go.
Okay.
NBA playoffs. Which NBA franchise has the least playoff wins?
I mean, it's got to be a new team.
It's a good question, Sal.
It's
good
probably
question.
Charlotte, no?
I hope it's right. I mean,
great. That's tremendous amount of confidence you have. I hope it's right.
Well, things could happen, and I'll explain to you after you give me the answer.
Well, like the Wizards and Bullets are one organization, right?
Yeah, exactly. But that's not the answer, so don't say that.
No, I know it's not I just wanted to confirm that. So here's what I'm thinking. I don't think it's Grizzlies. It's either Hornets, Pelicans, or Timberwolves. I would say it's one of those three.
Should I help him out a little bit, Rick?
No.
Maybe give him the year. Maybe, Sal, you give him the year, maybe?
Yeah, what year, Sal?
I don't even know the year, but one of the three he said is right.
Oh, I know it's right. It's one of those three teams.
Right.
Now, Minnesota's won, what, two this year? I'm going to say Minnesota.
Yep, Minnesota's right, but the 2-1, that could have changed the answer. But Minnesota's right with 18.
There you go. I think it's more than 18 now. I think that they've won a couple, and it's up to 20 now.
You're so cocky. It's amazing.
How am I cocky?
Because you're like, he's like, yeah, one of the ones you said is right, and you're like, of course it's right.
Well, I knew it's one of those three. Yeah, it just pains you that I'm very smart.
You can just smell. I can smell the arrogance coming through the computer right now. Smell
the air of arrogance. All right, go ahead. You think you're so tough? What's your question?
All right, David.
This is gonna be NFL draft. If this is not NFL draft, you should go away.
No, it's not NFL draft. I'm going NHL, baby.
Oh, come on.
Can you tell me the three active NHL players that have had 60 goal seasons?
Auston Matthews.
That's correct. He scored 60 last night.
Ovechkin.
Correct.
Active NHL player that has 60.
Active NHL player to have 60 goals in a season. You want the year.
No, I don't want the year. We're not considering Jaromir Jagr active, correct?
He is not. No, he is not active in the
Stamkos.
NHL. Stamkos. Yes, David.
Yes.
Look at you. The versatility is outstanding.
I am smart.
You know what? I feel like you played the I am so smart in a mocking way. I mean, that was really well done by me.
Oh, it's Homer Simpson. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, but I think Santiago plays it to make fun of me. I am too smart. See?
I am too smart.
All right, fine. Now, I'm told this is very tough. It's an NFL draft question. Will you help me?
I'll help you.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Mike?
Yep. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Go ahead. What's your question?
Perfect. So the New England Patriots are showing interest in the current Montana State linebacker, Troy Anderson. Who was the last Montana State linebacker to play for the New England Patriots?
The last Montana State? Oh, my God. There's actually a guy, Kirk Timmer, who was from Montana State. I think the Jets drafted. I don't know. More recent than that. What'd you say?
More recent.
Was it Dane Fletcher?
Stop.
Yes.
I mean, how the hell do you know that?
Because my brother is a Patriots.
Come on,
ticket
there's
holder.
No way you looked that up. There's no way you knew Dane Fletcher.
What am I going to look it up with my secret computer in my head? I'm sitting here. You see where I'm? Well, you see how I'm sitting?
Well, somebody's working behind the scenes. How in the world did you know that?
Listen, how did I know that?
What position did Dane Fletcher play?
He was a linebacker.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you knew that, but good job by you.
Well, it's fairly real. I mean, that's not that long ago. That was in 20. I don't know, sometime in like 2010, sometime around there.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Well, all right. Well, you saved it. Good job by you. RJ, your five pack.
2010 to 2013. Oh. I don't know how you knew that.
I used to go to games. My brother used to make me go to games with him.
You didn't even live in New England in 2020. This is a lie.
He was commuting.
Someone's in your ear giving you the answers. Dane Fletcher.
I will say nobody gave him the answer here.
Where did I live? You act like I lived in a different country. I can't drive to a Patriots game. I went to a Patriots race. I went to a bunch of Patriots games with him.
With some scrub linebacker?
How dare you?
No, I didn't go with Dane Fletcher and his
family.
I didn't go with Dane Fletcher.
I'm just saying that's cheating there.
That man racked up 120 tackles and 4.5 sacks. You put some respect on his name.
Was it Dane Fletcher? All right,
Don't ask for my help then.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have.
You want help or not?
Well, not like that.
All right.
Was it Dane? And what kind of question is that, RJ?
I said very tough. It's on the screen.
Very tough. Nobody, in the Fletcher home, nobody knows who that guy is.
How dare you speak about Dane Fletcher like that?
Pride of Bozeman, Montana.
Didn't Cousin Dane play in the NFL at some point? No, I don't think so.
You're lashing out because Rick got it.
I have a Dane Fletcher jersey in my closet.
I see what happened.
You're upset.
Go ahead. What's your five pack?
You're upset that Rick knew it and you didn't.
Dane Fletcher.
So I'm not sure we've ever traveled down this road before.
Where I don't know that I want to go down this road.
Where I think you will. Where did he go to college? Guys that are still in technically college for the NFL.
I don't know that I'll do very well in this one.
For the NFL draft.
These are I don't think I go 5 for 5.
Projected first rounders. We'll start easy as we typically do. Charles Cross.
Mississippi State.
That's one. George Karloftis.
Purdue.
That's two. Andrew Booth Jr.
I have no idea.
You want the position?
Tell me the year.
This year.
Is this the cornerback?
Tomorrow. Yes.
Is he Clemson?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. A little prodding we got there. Trevor Penning.
Northern Iowa.
Yeah. And Jermaine Johnson, the second.
Florida State.
Well, see? So,
come on, RJ. Come on, RJ.
I am so smart.
I know where his line is.
I am so smart.
See, he's happy with himself there.
I am so smart.
Isn't it supposed to get like more difficult? Like, how do you end with Jermaine
one would
Johnson?
Think, right?
Where'd Dane Fletcher go to college?
I told you, Montana State.
You know everything about him.
Please stop it. The whole Dane Fletcher thing is grotesque. You know what? You're putting a bad name on Stump Rothenberg.
He's the pride of Bozeman. How dare you?
How dare you? Now that's Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
All right, DPH Rothenberg with you as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. The football frenzy is upon us. Mel Kiper just 11 minutes away. It's all happening here on 98.7 ESPN. Rick, I'll say typically, are you ready? You yell at me, I'm always ready. I won't ask you. Let's go. Now, Raymond, remember, right to the question. If you start with any salutations, anything but the question, you play the buzzer. Rob Cranford, frenzy, go.
Who do the Giants have to take in the first round that will leave you disappointed and leads to a potential frosty rant on Friday morning?
Kid Ooh. Frost.
Kid
I mean,
Frost
if took
on
one of the
Friday.
Quarterbacks, I would be disappointed.
Did you say quarterbacks?
Yeah, if they took one of the quarterbacks. That
oh
would be
my God, that's the. I mean, that could be the laziest answer I've
How
ever heard
lazy?
In my life.
Who are the Giants going to take that I would be disappointed with?
That seems so. Like, I don't know. Maybe they took a wide receiver with one of those picks.
A quarterback,
Garrett Wilson. I'm not going to be wildly disappointed.
Yeah, but that's not what you're looking for.
No.
You walked out there and I saw a professional quarterback.
I'm not going to be disappointed. All right, you know what? I'm not going to be disappointed. If they take Jermaine Johnson, I'm not going to be disappointed. Thibodeau, I'm not going to be disappointed. Cross, I'm not going to be disappointed.
Best case scenario for you, though. No, don't answer that because we'll do that tomorrow.
No, but I can answer, and I don't think necessarily this will happen. Gardner, Thibodeau, best case scenario.
Gardner, Thibodeau, that'd be nice. So you not be... so no offensive lineman for you then?
I think I can get that in the second round.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Now, if you told me I get Neal and Gardner, that'd be a great scenario, too.
What if I gave you Charles Cross and Sauce? Cross and Sauce.
Cross and Sauce? I would be fine with that. I have heard that they like Cross more than they like Ekwonu.
Well, yeah, because I think that isn't Cross a really good pass blocker?
The best. He's supposed to be the best pass blocker right now. And Ekwonu is more of a mauler in the run game.
Ukunua.
Yeah. I don't think they love Ukunua, is all I'm saying. Shooter in Stanford. Shooter, you're on the frenzy.
Who has the better season?
What the hell is happening?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
All right, Shooter, you gotta get to the question. This is an embarrassment.
He asked the question.
I can't hear a word he's saying.
His kid's all upset now.
All right, hang up on him. Hang up on him. All right, he asked the question. What was the question?
I think he said, who's going to have a better season? Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones, maybe?
All I heard was Zach Wilson, and they cut out.
That's brutal.
He upset the kids.
Because he sounded like he was a murderer.
Right. How was this Macho Man?
That was not great. Ricardo and Perth Amboy. Ricardo, you're on the Frenzy.
With the fifth pick in tomorrow's draft, if the big man is on the board, Evan Neal and Cross, who does Joe Shane pick?
Neal.
Wow, that was easy for you.
I don't think there's any reservation about it. I think if Neal is there at five, they go with Neal.
Right, here's the thing, though. I think if Neal is there at four and they have questions about Mekhi Becton, I think that the Jets could take Neal at four.
I think there's a very good chance of that. So you think that Becton is dealt tomorrow night then, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if they can get, like, that would be, again, I think there's real concerns that he's going to figure it out. And that, I think that he turned a lot of the coaching staff. This is a new coaching staff, too. Well, I mean, it's just with his lack of interest in making his way back and then, you know, him being the size he is right now.
Yeah, which is just, it's gargantuan from what we've heard. Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on the Frenzy.
Do the Giants pick up Daniel Jones' fifth-year option next year?
No,
or two
way.
Next week?
No chance. Why would you possibly do that? So you're Carolina?
Or Cleveland right now?
I mean, you know what you do? If the guy has a great year, then you pay him.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you sell it to him.
Right? Go out there, prove it, show us what you're capable of, have a great year, and we will pay you. We'd love to.
If he has a great year and you're still a little, you can franchise him too if you want.
Absolutely. There's no way he's getting the 50-year option. No. Or should you? Joe and Hop Hog. Joe, you're on the Frenzy.
If the Giants draft a tight end, who would you like to see them draft?
The kid from Ohio State, I heard good things about. Colorado State, supposed to be a good pass-catching tight end. And it's not, by the way, Rick, not if they take a tight end, it's when they take a tight end.
When they take a tight end?
No, there is no doubt they're going to take a tight end.
It still amazes me the amount of draft capital they spent on the offensive side of the ball to be where they're at.
The Giants offensively stink, right?
Yeah, they've been brutal.
And look at what they've used. Second pick, fourth pick, sixth pick, Evan Ingram, Will Hernandez. I mean, it's staggering at what they've used with the offensive line and the offensive side of the ball. Sterling
Shepard.
Yeah,
Shepard was a second-round pick.
Shepard was a second-round pick. Spent huge money on Kenny Golladay.
What a disappointment that was, though.
Oh, God. One of the worst free agent signings you've seen.
He
can't
be
worse.
He better figure it out. I can't. No, that's you're right. He can't be worse.
He can't be worse. Doug in Albany. Good morning, Doug. You're on the Frenzy.
Did the Steelers draft a quarterback in 22 or wait for a better class in 2023?
Oh, that phone line almost killed me.
I think my ear almost exploded.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a quarterback they like in this draft. Because you got to figure the Steelers are going to be a pretty good team, right? No worse than like middle.
Well, they always
of the road.
Are.
They're always at least middle of the road.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin's never been under 500.
Right. So the odds are you're not going to wind up with a top pick to get one of the elite quarterbacks in next year's draft. If you like one of the guys this year, I would say go with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably their mindset.
We have the quarterback that they want. By the way, we have the fruit basket on the line tomorrow night.
Fruit basket is on the line. That's right.
What quarterback goes first, Pickett or Willis? Honestly, how you feeling about that?
I still feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I don't feel great anymore.
Well, I mean, there's the wild card team. You'd say it's probably Carolina, right?
Carolina at six. Do they take a quarterback? Yes.
And I've seen Malik Willis at two to Detroit, but I don't know.
How could you take Malik Willis second overall?
Well, I mean, they coached him. They've had him. They liked him. It's a risk. See, I have a hard time. If Trayvon Walker goes one, because the betting.
Hutchinson.
That's what I mean. I mean, the money right now is Walker at one. How do you. I mean, he's from. I mean, he's a hometown kid. I have a hard time believing you don't take him.
I think they would. Let's go to Corey in Greenwich. Corey, you're on the Frenzy.
If you were the Jets and if you come out with Jermaine Johnson and Jameson Williams at 10, are you okay with it at the end of the day?
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
I agree with you. I think that you're fine. If you wind up with an elite receiver and one of the best pass rushers in the draft, how could you not be okay with that?
I still feel like at four, if Thibodeau was there, I still feel like for some reason that they would, and they're not taking an offensive lineman. I think if as far as pass rushers are concerned, I think they would probably go Thibodeau.
All right, so Thibodeau and Jameson Williams.
Yeah, fine.
Who says no to that? All right, Santi, blow it dead. That was a pretty good Frenzy.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show?
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We've tickled the fancy of one Mel Kiper Jr. by giving him vats of whipped cream. Mel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Over the next 72 to, say, 100 hours, how much sleep will you get?
A little bit, you know, because the nights are late, and then the mornings, you know, come earlier than you would ever think. So, yeah, it's not a lot of time in between because you're making calls till late. And then basically just trying to get ready, knowing these 3 days are now right on the doorstep. So not a lot, but then you have the rest of the month. You know, you think about the rest of April. You have the 30th is the last day. So the first Saturday in May, I believe, is the Kentucky Derby, right? So that's the Saturday after the draft is the Kentucky Derby. So, I mean, I love that. So then with Epicenter and all that. So then I will probably get a break in late May. Right, Memorial Day weekend starts to break, guys, and then it goes until basically August 1st. So you do get, you know, a month and a half, 2 months to regenerate. But, you know, again, we're always looking forward to next year's draft. So I know McShay's got his way too early mock draft coming out like in a week from now, basically. So we'll be rolling through that. But, no, going into this draft process, we haven't slept much in the last couple months, but nobody in the NFL has as well.
All right, so let me start with this, because it was Hutchinson forever. He was the guy, no doubts, it was done deal. Now all of a sudden it sounds like Trayvon Walker might be the number one pick. In your mind right now, who goes one tomorrow night to Jacksonville?
Trayvon Walker is somebody who certainly has the talent to be a great player, has the talent to be. Will it come into play in the NFL when it really didn't in terms of finishing and getting sacks? I went back into history, and I saw 9.5 tackles for loss. I mean, excuse me, 13 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks. Historically, guys, when you look at the number one picks or first rounders, it's really low. Then the guys like Clowney and Garrett, Miles Garrett and Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, they were tripling those numbers. So, again, you're basically saying the scheme, you know, was preventing him from being as productive. They moved him around. They dropped him into coverage. And once we get him in the NFL, we can get him to use his hands better, okay? We can get him a little twitchier. We can work on that from the outside. And all of a sudden, we'll take all that talent, that 6'5", 272-pound frame with that 35.5 vertical and that 4.5 speed and those incredibly long arms, and we're going to make him into a double-digit sack guy when he wasn't in college. So that's up to the D-line coach. That's up to the organization. If they believe in the talent and they believe in the kid, and they feel like the issues are correctable, okay, the hand usage and that type of thing, then I can see it. But Aiden Hutchinson did it, and he also tested better. You talk about, you know, shuttles, and you talk about three cones. We talk about all those quick numbers, okay, those explosive numbers over a 10-yard, 10, 20-yard area. He beat Walker. So Walker has build-up speed, and the build-up speed for a defensive end isn't important. So we'll see how it plays out. I'll tell you, one team that's the ecstatic right now is the Detroit Lions. If it does play out that way.
Yeah, that would seem like the ideal place for Hutchinson, just the whole backstory and everything else. Mel, first thing before I ask you my question, whipped cream, it arrived safe and sound. Everything was good?
It did. I have one left of the dozen you sent.
Oh, come already?
Yeah.
I sent 12, Dave.
12 of them, and I got I lied. 1.5 left. Okay, there's two in the refrigerator. One's half.
Mel, do you bathe in whipped cream?
One's ready to go for draft day.
How is it? Yeah, he sent you 12 last Monday, Mel.
I know. I go through one and a half. I go through one in a day and a half sometimes. Sometimes one in a day. Depends upon, you know, hey, this is draft time, guys. I go a little crazy, okay?
I like it. I love it. I mean, listen, as long as you're using it, I love it. All right, so, Mel.
You don't have to ask that question. Come on.
All right, Mel. So I'm as you know, I'm a Jets fan, right? So I mean, of course, we want to make, you know, Zach Wilson as good as humanly possible, and they try to get Tyreek Hill and everything else. But I'm hearing a lot of stuff now that, you know, this whole Mekhi Becton thing is just not working out. He's not in shape. They don't trust him. So now I'm hearing that there's the potential where at four they go offensive line. Are you hearing some of that same stuff?
Well, we heard it all along that they could. Yeah, that was the whole Becton thing, and that was always the possibility. But you have needs areas, and you have players that are on a grade board, and you have to see how it plays out at 1, 2, 3. And then it gets down to, you know, medical and all the other things that go into it with players when you're trying to separate players and all the different things that will factor into that. But Ike Ekwonu and Evan Neal, Ike Ekwonu especially, now he could be gone. I mean, who says Houston's not going to take Ike? Then it gets down to, do you take Evan Neal? Do you take Sauce Gardner? Do you take a defensive pass rusher? What happens at 10? Do you feel like you can still get Drake London or Garrett Wilson at 10? I've always said 4 has to mesh with 10. And you, by that, I mean you want to get the highest-rated player at 4, combined with the highest rated player at 10. You don't want to go a player at 4 and then have to stretch it for a player at 10. You want the highest rated player to be really feeling good that we got great value with both picks. And how do you work that the best? And that's something that Joe Douglas is trying to figure out. So same thing for the Giants at 5-7. Very similar situation. But 4-10, to me, guys, I believe this. I can't tell you about which one pick will be, but one of those picks has to be a wide receiver. In my opinion, you can't have Zach Wilson. And I understand there's depth at wide receiver, but there's some elite ones in this draft. And that would be Garrett Wilson, Drake London, and Jameson Williams. Olave would be the fourth. On talent, it would be those three. Jameson would be number one if he were completely healthy. So I really believe the Jets, with one of those two first-round picks, will take a wide receiver. We can debate the other one, corner, pass rusher, offensive lineman. But I think one of those, and Drake London seems to be the best fit. He has been all through the process for me.
Mel Kiper Jr. with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Of course, the draft tomorrow night right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Mel. So a name that I know you've heard and a lot of Giants fans have heard and were surprised, I think, is Charles Cross, the offensive lineman from Mississippi State. Do you really like him a lot? And would it be a mistake if the Giants took him at either 5 or 7?
Well, no, it's not a mistake to take a guy who's a skilled pass blocker. And you see what Thomas is improving at left tackle. He'd have to be a right tackle. And that's something where drive blocking and moving defenders off the ball got a little bit better, but it's not like that's something Mississippi State did. He was basically called on to be a left tackle who was you're just keeping that defensive end away from the quarterback, and he did a great job always maintaining right position and technique. The only guy that gave him a little trouble, guys, was Sam Williams in the Egg Bowl. That was it. The Ole Miss defensive end gave him a little bit of trouble. That was it. He was flawless in pass protection. Always kept that frame between the defensive end and the quarterback. Now, you think about in the NFL, moving him to right tackle. Evan Neal has played right tackle for a full year, okay? So that's the only thing. Icky has a higher grade for me than Cross does. So if it gets down to Icky and Cross, I'm taking Icky. Neal and Cross is closer. So, and I could see how they could go Cross over Neal. I could very easily see that. But if you want the guy that has played three positions, started at three positions, one of which is right tackle, then you would go Evan Neal. So I think that's the whole discussion that they're having. And what are they going to do with 7? Are they going to trade out of there? Remember, set themselves up good for next year? This is the first time we've had this GM and his head coach. They got a lot of time on their hands, guys. Daniel Jones doesn't have time. The head coach and the GM do.
Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, so Dave and I have a gift basket on the line here. I said that I thought Malik Willis would be the one that jumps up the board and goes first. He has Kenny Pickett. So we're a day away from this thing. Now, a team like Carolina, Seattle's looking for a quarterback. I don't know if they take one. But right now, today, as we sit here at 7:43 on Wednesday, which one of those two do you think ends up going first?
I got to believe it's Malik Willis.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I just believe in that the talent. I see Kenny Pickett and why. I mean, the connection with Matt Rhule going back to recruiting him at Temple, the safer pick, the 49 starts, the fact that he's going to be a 24-year-old rookie. I get all that, but on talent, Malik Willis is superior. I think the small hand, the gloves and all that, I think will be enough to say Malik Willis is the one that on talent, like I said, I always believe that that's what's won out. Now we could say, hey, well, what about Mac Jones? Well, he was an outlier. Well, he went the last quarterback, he was the best of that group. So if you want to go into Mac Jones and make that argument, it's valid. It's very valid. But if you asked me a question, I had to give you an answer, and I gave you Malik Willis. Now, McShay might give you a different one. So if you had McShay on, he would be telling you Kenny Pickett probably.
Let's get McShay
I don't
on.
Trust. I don't
yeah,
trust
now
McShay.
Let's get McShay on. I think he's the voice of reason in this conversation. Mel, how active do you think trades will be in the first round tomorrow night?
The trades are always hard to predict because teams they can't tell you for sure that, well, which player's going to be there. Who's going to slide? They really can't give you that answer that easily because of that, and I don't press them on it usually. I think that a lot of the deals will happen if they happen in the middle of the first. I think you have Philadelphia and New Orleans back-to-back at 15-16, then back-to-back at 18-19, looking at a receiver. Both those teams are. You have Baltimore at 14, maybe looking to deal out. A lot of people in Houston at 13 could. They need tons of players. Okay, they only won. They need a lot. So if you get a good deal to move out of there, set yourself up for next year, whatever it takes, you could do that. So I think a lot of the move will Pittsburgh move up to get Malik Willis if he starts sliding, okay? What's going to happen with the receivers? Where's Jameis? Is Kansas City or Green Bay going to try to move up to get Jameson Williams? I think there's a lot of intrigue in the middle of the first. I don't know about the early part of the first. You don't hear a lot about that. Teams would like to, but who's going to be the dance partner? That's the issue. Mid-first, late-first, when you get that fifth-year optional quarterback, will a Ritter or a Corral be traded traded up for in the late first round. That usually happens. Is there a receiver that people really like? Do they like Dotson, Burks, or somebody like that? Is a receiver they would trade up for in the late first? Is a pass rusher like Ebikadi from Penn State worth dealing up for in the late first? That may happen, but I think most of the activity, guys, is in the middle of the first.
Mel, I believe that's Ebikadi. Just checking the pronunciation here. Mel, I'm a big linebacker guy. Some would say a linebacker historian. Now, as I sit here and I assess this crop of linebackers, in your genius opinion, any of them remind you of a Dane Fletcher, perhaps?
No. Dane was a guy who I liked coming out. I actually gave him a heck of a write-up. He was a guy senior year, right? Missed the first two games with mono, yet earned Big Sky Conference Player of the Year honors. This guy had 17.5 tackles for loss, 69 tackles, and was a standout in the Big Sky Conference's entire career, goes to New England, and plays pretty well as an undrafted free agent. People forget that. I gave him a fifth, sixth-round grade. He goes undrafted. So Dane Fletcher, to me, out of Montana State, was a guy that you expected him to go as a late-rounder free agent. He went as a free agent, and he helped the Patriots. So here's a kid that battled through that, was productive his entire career, played right away, 6'1.5", 239 pounder, ran 4.65. I was a little surprised he didn't get drafted when you got a guy who can do a lot of things at that outside linebacker spot. So, no, Dane Fletcher played in the NFL, was one of the undrafted free agents that did.
Mel, do you have anything in your mind outside of the draft and what's taken place over the 40 years you've been covering this thing? We mentioned Dane Fletcher earlier on the show. We were joking about it. Now we ask you, and you sit here and you tell us everything about Dane Fletcher. Like, you must be like me, because I'm a savant like this, that crossing the street, not so easy, but you can go back to Dane Fletcher in the 2010 draft.
Yeah, you could talk. You should have got my wife, Kim Kuiper, or my daughter, Lauren. Get those guys on to talk about me, and they would give you some scary things to talk about for a while. I mean, they would give you a lot of information that about me that is only they know. So no. That's the answer to your question. That was a joke. People always overrate that part of it for me. I will forget this stuff, a lot of it, after this week. I look forward to next year. I'm going to be forgetting about it for a while. I'm going to be out on a kayak, out on a boat. I'm going to be out on the bay. I'm going to be fishing, crabbing. I'm going to be over at the Crab Claw. I'm going to be all the different crab cake places this summer, eating crab cakes, hopefully. So, love the Narrows. So we'll be all over the place with the various restaurants and crab houses. But no, I'm not as crazy as people think about that. But Kim and Lauren may have a different opinion.
Would you be surprised if the Giants didn't take an offensive lineman fifth or seventh?
Oh, gosh, yes. 100%. Be very sad. I thought two things would surprise me. The Giants didn't take an offensive lineman at 5 or 7, and the Jets didn't take a wide receiver at 4 or 10.
All right, but in saying that, so they don't take any chance. Now, I don't even know if you're the right person to ask this question, but would you, just value-wise, and you graded Deebo Samuel and everything else, would you trade, if you were the Jets and there was a possibility you could get Deebo Samuel for the 10th pick, would you do it?
Debo's hard to pass up. I mean, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, Deebo had so much production running the ball. Now, and he's still young, and people say, well, you can't continue that way, being a running back receiver. Well, he did it for 1 year. This is the most he's ever done it for. Well, he did it for 3 years. The first year he had some carries, but this is a guy who is electric with the ball in his hand. So, yes, they tried to get Tyreek Hill. If you can get Deebo, you go get Deebo. He's better than any receiver in this draft. So, yes, no question about that. He's the best receiver in this draft. He's proven it. He's multidimensional. You know what you need to do with him. Shanahan showed you how to use him. So, do you want to use him as much running the ball with 159 carries? Maybe not. But the bottom line is, yes, he's the best receiver in this draft, and I would go get him.
All right, Mel, we love you. You know that we do. Thank you so much for coming on with us today. If you are available at all on Friday, it can even be the spur of the moment, we would love to have you on anytime between 5 and 8 o'clock on Friday morning, if that, of course, is possible.
That's possible. Yeah, that's definitely possible. It was 59 carries, not 100. 59 carries total for Deebo. But, yes, I would say, mark it down. We can do Friday. No sweat. That's no issue at all.
You are the best. We'll talk to you. Enjoy draft night, Mel.
Oh, I can't wait till Friday. We'll review.
Yeah, we're looking for grades.
The mysteries will be solved, guys. And by the way, I do for these 2 days expect about 24 fat-free whipped creams coming my way at some point in the next week or two.
Oh, it'll be done. Don't you worry.
Whipped cream and crab cakes. That's what we do, Mel. Whipped cream and crab cakes,
you guys,
baby.
Are the best. They're the best. Take care, guys. Appreciate it, man.
Mel. See you. Great stuff. That is Mel Kiper Jr. Now he's asking for stuff, huh?
Wow, all of a sudden I scratched the itch, man. He's already done 12. He's done 10 and a half already.
That, you don't think that's
they
a little
They got there
strange?
Last Tuesday.
They got them last Tuesday.
The guy got them last. So that's what, 8 days? He's gone through 10 plus cans.
He's worth every penny. And when I get arrested for this whipped cream ring that I'm running, it was worth every penny. You were stunned. Dane Fletcher had you stunned. You didn't even know how to react to it.
Well, because, I mean, but here's the thing. Just because Mel knows who Dane Fletcher is doesn't mean that I believe that you knew who Dane Fletcher was.
How dare you? The guy did an appearance at my brother's Dunkin' Donuts that I wouldn't know who Dane Fletcher is.
No. No, I don't think you're familiar with Dane Fletcher.
This is a productive, undrafted player.
All right, let's go around the horn here. Let me ask RJ and Ray. RJ, do you really, truly believe in your heart of hearts that Rick knew who Dane Fletcher was? An honest answer.
Yes, I do, because I was looking at him on the Zoom the entire time, and his hands were behind his head the entire time. He knew offhand who Dane Fletcher was, and he proved it.
It's lies. RJ, you also believe that?
I think he knew Dane Fletcher. I think what we're learning is that we didn't know enough about Dane Fletcher.
Mel Kiper knew everything.
You knew his social security number.
He knew everything. He's given
40 times.
He's like, I thought he was going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. You know what's great? You got to get this when he starts breaking down what he's going to do this summer. He's like, kayaking.
I wanted to play the old NFL primetime music behind it. It was an entire breakdown.
All the different crab cake places this summer, eating crab cakes, hopefully.
The Narrows. I love the Narrows.
the Narrows, the crab cakes.
Crabbing. I mean, he is fishing, crabbing.
He is really sensational, isn't he?
He's amazing. I was going to ask about it. We didn't have enough time. Maybe I'll ask him on Friday how he goes the entire time without going to the bathroom. How impressive that is.
You think he uses a bottle, like, below the camera?
I don't think so. I think he's just trained himself. I think this is what he does.
Can you train yourself? The guy that does the whip around on Sundays, is it John Hansen?
He doesn't go to the bathroom either.
He doesn't go to the bathroom at all.
No,
well, he doesn't drink water, though.
All right, so maybe he just nourishes himself with the whipped cream. And then that's it. And then he just cuts himself off and then just doesn't go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, why would he not? I mean, they go to commercial breaks. Why would he not run to the bathroom and take like 12 seconds to pee?
Because he's preparing himself.
I've heard Mel say that you can put all the food and beverages he's ever consumed during all the drafts he's ever done on TV on a single plate. So that's how he does it.
Food, I understand. I don't understand how he's not consuming beverage.
That opens up a whole ton of other questions, because how does he get the energy? How does he get through?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, Kyrie's fasting and playing an NBA playoff game. He's not drinking anything.
Well, and they use that as an excuse, right?
Well, Mel doesn't use excuse. That's not Mel who Mel is.
Mel's not about the excuse.
Mel's been doing this how many years, though?
But I bet you he has a big plate of crab cakes when this thing wraps up.
Oh, crab cakes.
All the different crab cake places this summer, eating crab cakes, hopefully.
Doing a little fishing.
Why hopefully? Why would that not be definitive?
I just think he got a little law. He's going to have some crab cakes.
Good. I'm glad.
Why don't you send him crab cakes? I'll send him the whipped cream. No, we shouldn't do that, though, because he's getting them fresh
get gassy, too, no?
I don't think gassy, but I mean, why would you? He's right there getting the crab cakes.
Right. He could get better crab cakes than I could send him.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right. He can't get the whipped cream.
No, trust me, I tried. That. You can't get nothing over there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.